This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See McDonald's.com.
Whether taking a road trip to the beach, heading to the mountains, or driving to the city, summer adventures are nonstop fun in a new Honda. But let's face it, summer trips can really add up. That's why I love the fuel efficiency of Honda. With Honda, you can save your money for other things, like that awesome keychain at the convenience store, that brand new album you wanted, or whatever else your heart desires. New Hondas are arriving daily. See your local Honda dealer and start your summer adventures today.
Want a great way to recognize your employees? Check out Custom Ink. Have you ever thought about doing something special for your customers? Custom Ink can do that too. And wouldn't your team love some custom gear? Custom Ink is ready. Custom Ink is your go-to custom gear partner with great customer service, quality products, and all-in pricing along with personalized help when you need it and an easy-to-use website when you don't. Plus, everything is 100% satisfaction guaranteed. Check out what we can do for your business at CustomInk.com.
And welcome again to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman. Joining me right now is Emilio Donello, and we have a special guest. That's our friend Jeremy, who is a Huddersfield Town supporter. He's on to help us preview the upcoming match between Huddersfield Town and Fulham. This should be fun. I look forward to doing this. Before I do anything else, Emilio, welcome back to the show. Are you looking forward to doing this with your friend Jeremy?
Absolutely. I was just saying to him off air, it just only seemed like yesterday we did a couple of shows 2 seasons ago. It was this weekend we played away to Huddersfield Town, and I remember Cavalera scoring that classic goal in the top corner. He didn't score many more goals after that, if I remember, but that was a good game. And then I remember we went out for drinks on the corresponding game at Craven College, where Jeremy was recounting the fact we were winning 3-0 comfortable under Scott Parker in that game. And then you came back in the 3-2 and maybe should have grabbed an equaliser in that game. But yeah, it's good to have Jeremy back on the show. And you're always very articulate in your praise of Huddersfield Town. And you're probably the most fanatical fan I've ever known in terms of home and away every single game. So I admire you for that. So it's good to have you back on.
Yeah, and it's good to be able to go back to the football now. You know, it's been some time, hasn't it? So it is actually good. I've been to both of the away games so far this season, and it's been thoroughly enjoyable just to see the faces again. Even the people that I don't know, just to see the same faces again, it's great.
That's good. Yeah, same with me on Sunday.
And Jeremy, you will be at the match, correct?
I will definitely be at the match. Yes, I'm looking forward. Just got the season card through the post today, so I'm looking forward to swiping it and getting it in and getting my free program, because it's free programs at Huddersfield Town this season. So yeah,
that's a nice gesture. Not at Fulham, that's for sure.
Not at Fulham. That's a good point there, Millie. Okay, so Jeremy, we'll start with you. We'll get some thoughts from you on Huddersfield Town, and then in the middle of the show, we're near the end, Emilio and I will share our thoughts on Fulham, and then we'll end with our predictions and how both teams can potentially win this match. So let's start with you, Jeremy. Let's just get your thoughts on Huddersfield Town ahead of this match. Talk about your summer. I'll ask you after your opening thoughts about the opening match. So let's just talk about this summer, and what were your thoughts going into the summer?
Well, we had a shocking second half of the season. I mean, I remember this time last year, obviously the season started a little bit later, and I wasn't hopeful at all about the season, and yet we actually played very well up to New Year. We were mid-table, looked very comfortable, we were looking up rather than down, and then we were, well, rubbish, basically, the second half of the season. I mean, we hardly won a game. I think for a long time we'd picked up the fewest amount of points of any team in the league in the second half of the season. And we scraped over the line in the end, some degree of comfort, but it didn't look that way with a few games to go. But I looked at the signings that we've had this summer. I'm slightly more hopeful this year. The bookies aren't, but I'm slightly more hopeful this year. We will have a better season. I mean, we've obviously got a plan of getting young players in from the lower leagues, non-league, like League One, League Two, and giving them a little bit of time to gel. Now, that's not to say it's going to work. I don't particularly know the names and the quality of the players that we're bringing in, but it's an obvious process and a pattern of what we're going to be doing. And sometimes in the past, Town have been a little bit haphazard in the recruitment. Mm. So whether it works or not, I don't know. But I've got a degree of hope this season that I didn't have last season.
Okay, very interesting that you say that, because I was actually watching a video, and I believe in the video, a championship video, you were predicted to be relegated, which again, I don't hope on Huddersfield Town. I don't have nothing against Huddersfield Town. In fact, because I know you, I don't want Huddersfield Town to be relegated. And it's funny, after doing my research on Huddersfield Town the last couple of days, I don't understand where that's coming from, predicting relegation for your side. I don't understand that. But let's start here, because again, I'm going to ask you about the players, of course, the manager, but I want to get your thoughts, because I believe you were mentioning this off air about the Derby County match. So was this a surprise, getting the draw? Were you happy with the draw against them? And how do you think your side played against Derby County? I understand all the problems that they're having, but if you look at their lineup, it's still not that bad. It might be light in numbers, but they still have some talent on that team.
Oh yeah, I mean, certainly when they were saying beforehand, you know, it's going to be a struggle for them, I think we were odds on favorites to win the game. I was looking at the bookies, and I can't remember a time when Town have been odds on favorites to win an away game probably since their promotion season. So it's just but you looked at the side as they were lining up, and I was thinking, like, it's Craig Forsyth and Kelly Roos, and, you know, and you think, well, you know, they've still got a bit of talent there. It's difficult to say, because one match of the season, we were very closely matched to them. Whether that means we'll finish 15th and 16th or 22nd and 23rd, who knows? But I mean, certainly it's a side that I think that we will be around about where we are in the table come the end of the season. I thought we played pretty well, certainly deserved a draw. I thought we were unfortunate when we went behind, definitely deserved to get back in it. We had some good spells in both halves, especially first half. But I think 1-1 was fine. I mean, at the end, we had a really good chance and they had a really good chance. So it could have been a 2-1 win for us, could have been a 2-1 win for them. But I don't think anybody really felt too aggrieved about 1-1. And I was listening to Radio Derby on the way back, and I heard one or two of their players talking. And they were, again, saying, yeah, reasonable start to the season against a side that's probably quite solid and capable. So 1-1, they'd accepted it as well. So, yeah, decent enough start to the season.
Okay, very good there, Jeremy. And again, doing my research on it, I find it interesting when I was learning about your head coach, manager, whichever term he uses, coming from basically a disciple of Bielsa. So I want to get your thoughts on Carlos Corberan and how is he thought of amongst the Huddersfield Town supporters. And after that, I want to talk a little bit about style of play. Is it Bielsa ball or is it different?
It's interesting, because Corberan was at Leeds before Bielsa turned up. So I think the thing, you know, everybody thinks, you know, Spanish speakers, they probably have known each other for years. And that I believe that isn't the case. He was actually in part of the youth setup, I think, in Leeds prior to Bielsa. But Bielsa took a shine to him and he became, you know, one of the assistant coaches, or might have even been head coach. And I mean, I get the, we haven't, I don't like saying this as a Town fan, but we don't have the quality of players that Leeds had under Bielsa. So it's very difficult to say we're playing the same sort of style as them. I mean, there's certainly, we have a style, were very much possession based. I think we were, for a long time last season, had the second highest possession stats in the league, just behind Norwich. So, you know, there's very much play out from the back. And if there's mistakes, we will accept those mistakes, but we're still going to carry on playing out from the back. So there's definitely that. Certainly, first half of the season was quite a good, strong, high press, and it seemed to work. But I don't think, I certainly, from what I've seen of Leeds, and I'm not saying I watch them regularly, not many Town fans do watch Leeds very regularly, I think it's fair to say. But from the from what I've seen, I don't think it's an exact match between what we play and what they play. Mm-hmm.
Okay, very good there, Jeremy. All right, let's move on. And we've done this on several shows with you. Strengths and weaknesses for Huddersfield Town. So let's start with the good. Let's start with your strengths.
Well, we've got one or two players that certainly ones to note. One of them, unfortunately, won't be playing because he's got COVID protocols and all that. So he's probably going to come back either for the Preston game or the Sheffield United game. It's Lewis O'Brien. So... and he's linked with Leeds and linked with Palace. So how long he's going to be a player for us, I don't know. But he you know, he's a decent player. But the ones that I'll be playing against Fulham, I think two players to note will be Josh Caroma and Zorba Thomas. Both, again, profilers, as I was explaining before, lower division players. So they were Leighton Orient and Boreham Wood, respectively. Come in, didn't do much when they first came in. Caroma got sent out to Rotherham United on loan, I think it was. Came back, started last season really well. Got injured, you know, it was always a bit in and out at the end, but, you know, he's a good player. Sorba Thomas, you know, again, in and out when he first came into the side. But the when he played against Derby, I was listening to Curtis Davis on Radio Derby after the match, and he was saying, Sorba Thomas, Premier League player straight away. He's excellent. He was eulogising about him. And he's strong, he's pacey, and he just had Andre Wisdom on toes for half an hour, really. So so they both play in a similar position. They're both Caroma and Thomas, they both play on the left side. But yeah, they're certainly two players to watch. I think other strengths, be interesting to see how the defence plays. I'm reasonably hopeful about the defence this season. We've got a new guy from Luton called Matty Pearson. He's a local lad, or he's from not too far away, so he's come back up north. He looks like he might be a decent player. Again, reserve judgment a little bit here. But I would say defence and attacking wing player probably are two strengths.
Okay. And then let's flip it. Let's talk about the weaknesses.
I think on Saturday, we've got a new goalkeeper, Lee Nichols, who unfortunately is another one who's out for COVID. And the reserve keeper, Ryan Schofield, played quite a bit last year, came up through the ranks, possibly not... Well, I'll say he's probably one of our weaknesses at the moment. He's not been playing that well since he came into the side. He's a bit in and out. Some good saves, but not consistency of performance. Also, I think up front, be interesting to see what we're going to be like up front. We haven't exactly got the youngest strike force, Jordan Rhodes, who was with us, you know, 10, 12 years ago, and Danny Ward, who was with us not long after that. So they've both come back into the... the thing with Jordan is, he doesn't play up front by himself, and we've tended to play under Corberan with one up front. But with Jordan Rhodes, we're now playing two up front. So will that leave gaps in the centre of midfield? So it's so it'll be interesting to see how that works and how long we'll persist with two up front like we did against Derby. I mean, Jordan Rhodes is a terrific player for his first time. Went to Blackburn, again, really good, but hasn't really done it consistently at Middlesbrough or Norwich or Sheffield Wednesday. And I do wonder, I do wonder whether he'll do it for Town. He's a popular signing. He wants to be back here, so that's great. But that's one thing. Putting the ball in the back of the net's the main thing. And whether he can do that 15 times a season, I've got my doubts.
Okay, excellent. One more topic before I go to Emilio and we talk a little bit about Fulham, and then we'll start our actual preview of the match. Let's talk about this, because again, I was not aware of this. Doing my research, I came across this. Let's talk about the COVID outbreak at Huddersfield Town and how much of an impact could that have on this match, Jeremy?
Yeah, well, it certainly could. With the probably the first choice keeper out, first choice left back out in Harry Toffolo, is another good player. And then we've got Lewis O'Brien in midfield, who's, again, like I say, that he's going to be a big miss. And Josh Ruffles, who hasn't played for us yet, he's one of our new players. the players that we potentially will be missing without question, and Corbyn himself, I'm not entirely sure whether he's going to be available because he was out for Derby as well. I don't know if he's allowed back in. I think he says he's in the 10th day of isolation. So whether that means he can be tested and come back and sit on the bench, I don't know. I don't know enough about that sort of thing. But I think he said he was watching it and he was a minute behind, as you tend to be. I was well aware watching it on iFollow last season. You do tend to have a little bit of a delay from the live action, but I could see that having an effect on us because it's not just four random players. You know, three of the four at least are going to be starters.
Okay, excellent. One final topic. I know I said that was going to be a final topic. I just want to get your thoughts on Fulham ahead of this match, and then I'm going to go to Emilio.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult to say. I mean, I saw the score at the Middlesbrough game. I haven't seen it, so I don't really know how you played. I noticed that in the betting, it's slightly unusual because there seems to be four teams in the betting that are very fancied this year. Is it Fulham, Bournemouth, Sheffield United, and you might have to help me out here. I think there was another one that's
West Brom.
That's the one. Yeah, and that's quite unusual for a competitive league such as the Championship. I think this probably isn't the toughest Championship that you'll see. I think it was more difficult 4 or 5 years ago than it is now. So I think Fulham wouldn't have to be too great to get in the playoffs, I think, this season. As for the top two, I don't know. I have to admit, I just don't know. If you ask me in a month's time, I'd probably have a better view on that one, I think.
Okay, excellent. All right, over to you, Emilio. I want to get your opening thoughts on what Jeremy just shared, and then follow that up with your thoughts on Huddersfield Town.
Yeah, the Fulham Huddersfield games, they're not always spectacular games, admittedly. They're sort of, I think we've had a few interesting games where I think Fulham have dominated in some games in recent years. The one from 2 years ago when we lost, played the College one, I think we were winning 3-0 within, 20, 30 minutes, and you came back into it 3-2 at half time. And then you were disappointed. I remember going for the drink after the game that you should have got points, and I agree with you. There was a 5-0 thumping a few years ago when I think you were riding high in the division at the time. Yeah. And that was another. So they've been, not spectacular games per se, but overall, look, this is the new season for Huddersfield Town. I think you've obviously been, one of the favourites to go down purely probably on performance and your current form at the end of last season. You could, so it doesn't surprise me just the betting experts just look at current form or last season's form. You've made some interesting signings there. I think you've added a bit of strength. I looked at your statistics from last weekend, and interestingly, you created more shots on goal and on target than Fulham did at home against Middlesbrough, which is an interesting stat as well. We had more possession, but I think that was a concern for me from the Fulham performance last weekend. I know that seemed to be an overreaction from many of the fans. New manager, new setup, new way of playing. It's going to be experimental in the first few games. The thing for me is not to lose early in the season, keep a bit of momentum. You don't have to peak at the beginning of the season. It's all about continuity, getting those points on the board. And I agree with you, Jeremy. I think this is probably the weakest Championship I can ever remember. And this is probably an opportunity for the team like Fulham, and even yourselves, to be honest. If you start to get some consistency and a good run and stay within touching distance of the top two, then this division is there up for grabs, in my opinion. But overall, I don't know much about your squad per se. I'm not going to look at last season. Last season was 3 months ago. Lots changed. New manager, new way of playing, and same with Fulham. Fulham have got a new manager. It's going to take time for him to adapt to his way of playing. I'd like to see some changes to the Fulham lineup this weekend in particular.
Okay.
I thought midfield, we were very lightweight. I think you look at the players that we had on Sunday against Middlesbrough, probably the worst team you want to be playing, a Neil Warnock team, but we had two youngsters in Carvalho and Francois who are not physically the biggest blokes in the world and quite lightweight. And Harry Wilson, a very good signing for us. Again, not the strongest, not quite lightweight. And Cabana, who's just as tall as me, to be honest. So it's, that gave me why. Four out of those five players, extremely lightweight. And I thought we lacked a bit of bite and strength in that midfield. And that played into Middlesbrough hands, albeit they didn't do very much. They had one chance and they took it. So that concern for me is we didn't kill the game off. We didn't create enough clear-cut chances to kill the game off. That could play into your hands if we continue to play the same setup, because I think you've probably got more attacking options, so to speak. We may have better quality, but I think quality and quantity, I think sometimes, they're not like for like. It's all about you created more chances against Derby than we did against Middlesbrough, and you had more shots on target and was away from home versus us being at home. So that's where I'm a little bit nervous. I think defensively we look pretty secure, but I think it's going to be who's going to win the midfield battle here. And I think if we play the same midfield as we did against Middlesbrough, I think that's just too lightweight for me. There's not enough bite. There's not enough steel in there. And Harrison Reed, I know, Russ, you've said, is not fit to play the weekend. So, yeah, we've got some injuries there to worry about. And that's a concern for me in that midfield. We have to, I think Marco Silva will make changes. You know, but he will want to experiment, and he'll probably say this is a good opportunity away from home. How's he going to set himself up for an away game? I don't know. It's all going to be quite experimental.
Great points there, Emilio, because that's why great segue too, because you got me right into talking about injuries. And I think a key injury here is Harrison Reed, because I think they missed him. You even said that they missed him against Middlesbrough. I think they're going to miss him again this week. In this match, hopefully he'll be back for the next match against Millwall, but they do need him. And even though the youngsters, I thought, did a nice job, Emilio, I think not having Harrison Reed, and we can also say the long-term injury now of Tom Kearney, I think could hurt the side, and I think they need reinforcements in the midfield. And Emilio, as we're doing this show live, guess what happened? Brentford just scored.
Brentford just scored against Arsenal as well. Okay, so we played the corresponding first game last season. We got promoted home to Arsenal and we lost 3-0. We went 1-0 down within 5 minutes, I remember.
I said, we are doing the show live as the Brentford match against Arsenal is going on, and Brentford just scored. It is now 1-0. So that does not make me feel good, but I'm still into doing the show, and I'm looking forward to talking about this upcoming match. But I'm not going to lie, guys, that kind of put a little damper on it. And I hope Arsenal can get back in this match, because I don't want to see the Brentford team do well this season. I'll just say that. And as Emilio said, I was hoping we would see what happened to Fulham last season. Well, so far, it has not. Okay. Coming up next, guys, we are really going to break down this match between Huddersfield Town and Fulham.
Whether taking a road trip to the beach, heading to the mountains, or driving to the city, summer adventures are nonstop fun in a new Honda. But let's face it, summer trips can really add up. That's why I love the fuel efficiency of Honda. With Honda, you can save your money for other things, like that awesome keychain at the convenience store, that brand new album you wanted, or whatever else your heart desires. New Hondas are arriving daily. See your local Honda dealer and start your summer adventures today.
Lift tickets, once proudly zip-tied, onto ski jackets everywhere, now have gone the way of the cassette. Why? Because of Epic Day Pass. It gives you the flexibility to build your own pass, all while paying up to 65% less compared to lift tickets. Just choose 1 to 7 days to ski or ride throughout the season, then select your resort access. Vail, Breckenridge, Park City, and so many more. It's that easy. Yep, lift tickets had a good run. But so did fax machines. It's time for Epic Day Pass. Lift tickets. They had a good run. But now there's Epic Day Pass. Choose to ski or ride 1 to 7 days and select your resort access to Vail, Park City, and more. All while paying less compared to lift tickets. Sorry, lift tickets. It's time for Epic Day Pass.
Okay, guys. What I thought I would do, I got you both on the show together. So we're going to go back and forth. I'm going to go through different parts of stuff for us to break down. We'll go back and forth between Jeremy and Emilio. So, Jeremy, I'm going to start with you. Let's start with key players for Huddersfield Town against Fulham. Who are key players for you?
I have to admit, I might just start repeating what I said last time you asked me that question 2-3 years ago, because I think the centre of midfield is probably where it's going to be won and lost.
I totally agree with that.
Yeah, we've still got Jonathan Hogg in the centre of midfield. Now, I mean, he's a complete... You know, he's a hero to a lot of Town fans, one of the, you know, our best players of the 21st century. I mean, he was there when we got promoted. He's heading towards a testimonial soon in the next few years. You know, he's a good player. What he hasn't got is legs, you know, and with Lewis O'Brien out, then I think a key player will be Jonathan Hogg and potentially Scott High in midfield. Scott High is a young guy, came in at the end of last season, possibly didn't perform, you know, to a really high standard, but because he's young, there's room for improvement. So I think Scott High and Jonathan Hogg, neither of which are necessarily our best players, but key players.
Exactly. And Emilio, over to you. Key players for Fulham. We've already, between the three of us, have come to the conclusion that this is a battle in the midfield, central midfield.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are we looking at the players there as your key players, or is there somewhere else on the pitch? Could Josh Onuma be a key player if he plays?
I think at the end of the day, I think Wilson, I think good debut on Sunday. I think he's going to be our main player again tomorrow. I think we will see some depth in that midfield. I don't know who we will play. He may potentially, I'm just putting it out there, may potentially put Joe Bryan in midfield. Just change the system a little bit. He might put somebody who maybe, I just worry that midfield is a bit too lightweight. We played light for light from last weekend. Onuma, I thought at times going forward offensively, he looked good. He had some good touches with Ted Taylor's good link-up play with Harry Wilson on the right. But defensively, he's not the sort of player you want in that holding position. You know, I know, obviously, Anguissa is on his way out, so I doubt he'll figure in this game. I think let's be realistic. Seri was on the bench at the weekend. You know, is he up for going to Huddersfield Town on a Saturday afternoon? I doubt it. But these guys, we're still paying for the wages for these guys. So if they've got a job to do and we can keep them motivated and focused, then it's unlikely, but these are two experienced professionals who could play a difference, but realistically, it's not going to happen. I think Joe Bryan could potentially come into midfield or replace Robinson, who I thought was probably one of our weakest performers on Sunday. But, you know, Harry Wilson is going to be the way our creativity, where our goals are going to come from, our threats are going to come from. And, you know, we are a bit lightweight in the squad at the moment. We've got right. Kamara. I think Steve Turner's asked the question, is Kamara going? I think he has or is going. So yep. I think that's, let's move on. Johansson, people have, you know, I've had some discussions with some of the fans around Johansson going to QPR was a bad mistake. We have to move on. We can't keep these players for sympathetic reasons. Great job. Was my favourite player at the club, but we need to move on. Kevin McDonald, hopefully he's safe and keeping well after his operation, but we need to move to a new era of football. And even the Tom Kearney, Pete, I know we missed him at times last season. I think we need to move on from Tom Kearney. We have to evolve from that. He's been at the club, what, 6-7 seasons? He's had a bit of bad luck with injuries recently, but Fulham has to move on from Tom Kearney, you know, to be honest. And then maybe now is the time we don't build around Tom Kearney. We build around a new era of football. So I know Steph Johansson could have done a job, but we need to build for the future. You can't keep playing Stefan Johansson, Tom Kearney, and these guys are not competitive enough in the Premier League. We've fallen flat on our faces twice with that approach and buying all these loan signings and expensive signings. It's failed miserably. We need to start building a platform. It means we don't get promoted this year and build on like Wolves, Brighton, and all these other teams and Leeds United. So be it. But we can't keep buying all these bit part players who are good for one level and nowhere good enough for the Premier League. So, we need to sign players, Steve. That's the bottom line. We do need to sign players. But we have to trust our owners and the management team to do what's right for the club. You know, more players will be coming. But as usual, it's lastminute.com with Fulham.
Right. And Emilio, I think that's the problem that Fulham are under. I think Tyrese Francois can do a job, but I think that they still, even with him in there, I think they miss Harrison Reed. Yeah. And I think, like you mentioned, the fact that there's no cover there right now, I think Steph Joe needed to go, like you said. Mm. Obviously, Kevin McDonald, with his situation, they needed to move on. And like you mentioned, maybe it is time eventually to move on from Kearney. This is where they need to be focusing their time. You know, again, Fulham are strongly linked, and it looks like they might sign this player from Brazil, but he's not a central midfielder. No. And they need more cover there. They need a holding midfielder. And, again, I'm a little bit concerned going into this match. Nothing against Francois. I thought Francois was good. But again, it's a little scary right now, not having cover without Harrison Reed. It's just the way it is right now, Emilio. Okay, let's move on. Back over to you, Jeremy. Let's get right to it. How does Huddersfield Town win this match? Let's not talk about draws. How do they win?
Well, I would say get the balls out wide and get crosses in, because, I mean, we should have some people in the box. I mean, that has been a problem in the past, not having enough people committed forward. But if we are going to play two up front, then get the balls out wide to Zorba and get the balls in there. And hopefully the likes of Danny and Jordan can find a little bit of space in there and get a goal or two. I think, you know, it's going to be passing football from us. We're not going to be playing hoofball at all. I like to think we might mix it up a little bit, but no, I think it's going to be, you know, get the ball out wide, get it in the box, and hopefully get somebody running across the defender and putting it in.
Okay, excellent. The flip side, Emilio, for us, how does Fulham win this match?
I think again, it's, I think we've got enough pace in this squad. I think we might see a bit more pace on the flanks coming into the squad tomorrow. Get Wilson on the ball early, and I think that's inevitable. I think he was causing Middlesbrough a few problems at the weekend. For me, I thought that we felt a little bit uncomfortable the first 20, 30 minutes of that game against Middlesbrough. There was a lot of kicking the ball up high, you know, back, you know, keep the ball on the deck for me. I think we were a bit nervous that first 20, 30 minutes against Borough. We couldn't keep possession of the ball. Then we started getting into a rhythm, especially the last 10 minutes of the first half and that second half, where we had dominance but didn't create enough quality chances. So for me, it's keep the ball on the pitch, play to your strengths. But, you know, play a little bit of Scott Parker in a more positive way. Keep possession, keep the ball moving. That's what Harrison Reed does well. You know, I still question his ability as a Premier League player. We saw him doing very well the first half. He was very poor second half of the season. You could argue most of the team were, but again, you know, Harrison Reed, I'll call him out. I lamented the fact that I didn't think he was a Premier League player. Again, we saw reasons why I don't think he's a top class Premier League player. Far from it. But for me, it's keeping possession, play the ball on the ground, don't hoof it up. Don't keep lobbing in a way, putting out of touch. Play to your strengths. Look for your key players and use that pace that we've got. So this could be an interesting game of, we're playing a very similar football, Jeremy. You know, you created a lot of opportunities against Derby County. I worry about that. So we've got to be on our guard defensively, and you know, we need to be. I'd rather we are kept under pressure and focused rather than becoming complacent like we did in Middlesbrough. Made a few.
Right.
You know, needless chat fouls, and look, and that resulted in, you know, them scoring the goal because I think we lost a bit of focus. And so for me, I think it's going to be one in midfield, but who can create better quality crosses into the box and who can convert those chances? We haven't scored enough goals in the Premier League, and we didn't look like scoring many goals last weekend either. That's my worry. We didn't kill the game off when you're 1-0 up.
Okay, excellent. All right, guys, let's move on to your starting 11. Jeremy, let's go with what you think your manager will pick as your starting 11, and if you would do anything different, add to that. So let's go what you think he's going to go with, and we'll do the same thing, Emilio, when I go to you. First, over to Jeremy.
Yeah, I suspect it's going to be very similar to what he started last week, really, because of the COVID outbreak. There's probably a little less leeway to have in there. So I can imagine it'd be Ryan Schofield in goal. And then we'll have like Naby Sarr, and Matty Pearson as central defenders. We've also got a late guy called Levi Colville who's come on loan from Chelsea. He looked decent. I think he scored the own goal, actually. But, I mean, he did look decent. So potentially those three at the back. And then we'll have a couple of wing-backs there. So somebody like Zorba Thomas. And then we'll have Hogg and Scott High in midfield, I would imagine. And up front, we will be playing Danny Ward and Jordan Rhodes. I really can't see there being that many changes because not that many people that you can bring in really at the moment for us. I mean, they may pick a different central defender rather than the three that I've mentioned. They may like just swap and change a bit. They did move on from the Sheffield Wednesday team, the team that played Sheffield Wednesday, to the one at Derby. But other than that, I don't see many other changes.
Okay, excellent. Emilio, over to you. Let's start with what you think Marco Silva would do with a starting 11, and then what would Emilio do? So it might be completely different. It might be the same.
Yeah.
So let's start with what you think Silva is going to do with a starting 11.
I think, based on the performance last weekend, I think the only change I could see out there is possibly Joe Bryan coming in for Robinson.
Okay.
Possibly. Alternatively, putting Joe Bryan more in central midfield and see how him and Robinson, because ultimately I think we lacked a bit of quality delivery into the box at times. And I think we looked good, sort of making some chances, some good movement, but the final ball into the box at times wasn't good enough. Tete came forward quite a bit, some decent crosses in the box, but nothing significant of note. Robinson, I think, got pushed back in that second half. He didn't come forward enough for me and looked very isolated at times. So maybe you might see a subtle change, either bringing Joe Bryan in for Robinson or bringing Joe Bryan into midfield and experimenting there. You know, you might see potentially Cabano. I think you might see a change there. I think Cabano, for all his energy. Could you see Cavalera? I'm not Cavalera fan, don't get me wrong, but I'm just on a bit
realistic. I think you might see Cavalera.
You might see Cavalera coming in. Possibly in place of Niskin's Cabano. But for me, it's Francois. I had a solid game against Middlesbrough, but not spectacular. Have we got any other options? That's a concern. We probably haven't got any options there.
I don't think we do. I think that's the issue, Amelia.
Yeah, I don't think you have any. I think it's could Bobby Decadova Reed figure in this game possibly.
Maybe.
You might see him potentially in place of Carvalho. I'm just throwing it out there. And I think he's going to experiment. I'd be surprised it's going to be an unchanged lineup based on last weekend's performance. We're away from home. I'd like to see how we set ourselves up in going away from the cottage. So don't be surprised there will be some changes there. But that's where I think if there's going to be some changes, likely to be Robinson, Bryan, more on the left-hand side in particular. And possibly you might see Decadova Reed if he's fit and really willing to play, maybe coming in and doing a role at some point.
Okay. And what would you do, Emilio? Is there anything you would do different?
I called it out on Sunday. The keeper made me nervous. One performance. So
you go Rodak.
I'd give Rodak the chance. And again, the worry of the goalkeeper, if he's not really made any notable errors and wasn't tested, why would you drop him? So I'd be surprised if he changes it, but I'd like to see Rodak given that number one jersey and keeping that number one jersey. The keeper just positional play at times made me feel extremely nervous. It feels like a bit like Willy Cavallero for another Man City former keeper, the Argentinian keeper, very similar type of appearance. You know, he's sometimes could do something a little bit rash. That's what it felt like. There's always a rash distribution or a rash save or something unconventional. He made me feel very nervous. I'd like to see a change there. As much I'm not Joe Bryan's fan, maybe give him a chance to play tomorrow. I don't think he's a Premier League player. They're very, very clear. But, you know, I think Robinson had a poor game. So maybe Marco Silva won't take any nonsense and will want players to be fighting for their shirts. If you're not good enough, I see him making some ruthless changes. So don't be surprised Joe Bryan will figure at some point. And I will take off Cabano. I don't think Cabano did enough for me as well. Who else do we have other than Cavallero? Sorry, Steve. I know none of us like Cavallero, but I think he can offer a little bit more than Niskin's Cabano, to be totally frank with you. And what are the other options? I wouldn't drop Mitrovic. Everyone talk about maybe pushing Carvalho up front and maybe putting Decadova Reed in that center, in that behind.
Maybe
that's an option.
Yeah.
Mitrovic going to the bench, maybe, but
I don't know if he does that, to be honest with you.
I want Mitrovic to play. I think he will come good. People disagree with me, but everyone's got their own opinions. But this player is not a bad player overnight. So you got to play your big man. And if we played our big man more regularly last season, you could argue we probably would have had more points on the board.
Okay, excellent. All right, before we go to predictions, and if you're watching live, feel free to share your predictions. I'll share them. But I just want to share a couple comments. This is from our friend Steve Lillard. Obviously does not want Cavallero.
Who else is there, Steve?
And here's an interesting comment. This is from our friend Steve Reynolds. We will not go up with this squad lightweight and too predictable. Now, I disagree to Steve's point, if it stays the way it is, I think it's good enough. But I do agree with Steve. It's lightweight. And I think that needs to be addressed. I agree with that. And I agree with all of the sentiment that business should have been done earlier, Emilio.
I don't disagree with that. But you look at these players. Anguissa is on his way out. So it's all a question of how much money we generate for him. Yep. There may be a dependency on him leaving before we then sign likely some of the likes of Grimes that we're heavily linked with. Kamara's is on his way out. I still think he could have done a bit part job, but clearly if we can get 3 or 4 million for him, let's take that and invest it in Muniz, who's heavily linked to the club. So I think we have to exit players before we can bring players in. So it's easy for us to criticize that we're not making signings, but if no one's coming in for our players, we can't just suddenly go and buy players for fun. There's financial fair play at stake. Just because we've got the wealth of the Premier League from the royalties and all the parachute payments, you can't go and splash it out like other clubs do. There's rules that we have to play with. So it's easy to criticise that the squad isn't big enough, but we have to play within the constraints of policy and financial fair play. And I think we have to let players go before we sign. So Seri, Anguissa, Kamara, those three, if we generate some funding from those, you will probably see Grimes come in. You'll probably see Muniz and one or two other signings, potentially loans. So, that's financial fair play went out ages ago, Steve. But we're still playing within the constraints and boundaries of that regulation. So it's easy for us to complain as fans we're not seeing enough money. Put yourself as an investor, as a business owner. Not as easy as you think, guys.
Okay, excellent. All right, let's go to predictions. I've not looked at the predictions from the Fulham supporters or anyone watching live, but I'm going to predict that Steve Lydiard is not going to predict a victory. I'm just throwing that out there. I could, you know, I haven't looked yet, Steve. Give me your prediction. Am I right? Okay. Over to you, Jeremy. What's your prediction?
Well, it's interesting. I've just been on the message board for Town just before I came on here, and okay. They do a prediction every time, and they went 62% Fulham victory. I think it was something like 16% Town victory, and then 21%, or whatever the maths is, a draw. I think I'm going to say first game in front of the fans for over, you know, 15 months. I would be disappointed if we lose tomorrow. I'm not saying we're anything approaching Fulham's quality, but I will say 1-1.
Okay. All right. Emilio, what's your prediction?
I think we're good enough to win this game. I think if we take lessons learned from last weekend, I think we can get a 2-1 win, to be honest. Realistically, I think a draw seems a likely score, to be honest. It's early days, first game of the season. It's difficult to judge. New managers, new squads, new systems, etc. So it's going to be experimental. I said it last weekend. As long as you stay unbeaten, improve as you go along, make some changes, experiment, bring new players in. I'd rather we start to get a momentum. If we start to remain undefeated for a number of games, then that's what you want as a minimum. I think we're good enough to win. Do we have the quality, depth, an injury-free squad to do that? I don't know. I think realistically it's going to be 1-1, but don't be surprised we can get a 2-1 victory there like we did two seasons ago.
Okay, excellent. And as predicted, Emilio, Steve Lydiard went 1-1. But actually, you did as well. And Jeremy actually also thought that that his team would get something out of this. So I understand why everyone is predicting 1-1 a draw, because that makes sense. Especially the early part of the season. But if Fulham have ambitions of automatic promotion, which they better have that type of aspirations, they need to be going for the victory. I understand what you're saying. You build up momentum, but I'm going to go with a 2-1 Fulham victory. And and that should shock no one that I'm going with a Fulham victory, but I'm going with a 2-1 Fulham victory, and we'll see what happens. Okay. Before we go, guys, thank you. This has been a great show. Jeremy, thank you so much for joining Emil and I tonight. I hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did. It's been very good. It's slightly different doing it as a video this time, but now it's enjoyable. I do feel, as it's getting darker outside, I feel like I'm in part of the Blair Witch Project, just with the way that I'm looking. As long as it's nice and sunny tomorrow in Yorkshire, that's the main thing.
Okay. I want to mention one thing before I go to Emilio. Please do subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're slowly building that up, so we do need your help. If you're on YouTube, please do subscribe. Emilio, what did you think of the show? I hope you enjoyed it.
No, absolutely good show. It's always good to have Jeremy on the show. I can't believe it was 2 years ago we talked about this corresponding game. I know you came on the home show as well, Jeremy, if I recall rightly. Yeah. So, yeah, we'll definitely see you. Well, a Craven Cottage in a few months' time, and you and me and Joe will go out for drinks, hopefully celebrating a Fulham victory. But drinks on me if that's the case, okay?
That sounds good. I think it's February, March time. I'll look forward to it.
Yeah, likewise.
All right. Well, this has been fun getting the three of us back together. Let's wrap this up. Best of luck before we go, Jeremy. Let's see what happens. Best of luck. Tomorrow we'll see who wins or who draws or who loses. We'll see what ends up happening. But for my co-host, Emilio Dinello, our friend Jeremy, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for watching and listening to Cottage Talk.
Whether taking a road trip to the beach, heading to the mountains, or driving to the city, summer adventures are nonstop fun in a new Honda. But let's face it, summer trips can really add up. That's why I love the fuel efficiency of Honda. With Honda, you can save your money for other things, like that awesome keychain at the convenience store, that brand new album you wanted, or whatever else your heart desires. New Hondas are arriving daily. See your local Honda dealer and start your summer adventures today.
It's the 90th minute and all to play for at the end of the match. All your mates are around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. Are you in? I know I'm in. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See McDonald's.com.
Planning for your next trip? elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.